made a choice. Do I want to get up or not? Do I want to roll over? Do I want to go back to sleep? Do I want to get up? What do I want for breakfast? What am I going to wear today? What am I going to do? Do I want to go back to bed? Do I want to stay in bed for the rest of the day? You make a lot of choices every day of your life. Some choices are easy choices to make. The options that you have to weigh are very simple to decipher as to what is right and what is wrong. Some choices are very difficult to make. Some choices are seemingly a choice of the lesser of two evils. It has been said that is usually the case come election time. When you have candidates running for office, you want to elect the lesser of the two evils. Sometimes the choices are the greater of two goods. Do I want to watch the Philadelphia Eagles win, or do I want to watch Jeff Gordon crash? No, that's not a good choice. But nonetheless, we have to make choices. And I want you to consider this tonight, a proposition that I have for you to think about, and that's this. A good choice, if it is not the best choice, is a wrong choice. If we're choosing the lesser of two evils, and we choose what we think is the lesser of two evils, is that necessarily the best choice? And if it's not, it's a wrong choice. If we're choosing between a couple of different options and we choose what we believe to be the better, if it's not the best, I submit to you, it is a wrong choice. I believe that God has a will, and that will is prioritized. And we must, throughout the course of our life, be constantly making the best choices. In our study in Luke's Gospel tonight, at the end of Luke chapter 10, we come across a story of Mary and Martha, who each had to make a choice. I'd invite you to open your Bibles with me tonight to Luke chapter 10. I want to begin reading at verse 38 and add a little commentary along the way, and then we'll get into the subject matter at hand. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. I do not know why Luke does not name the village. John's gospel tells us that it was Bethany, a village just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. And a certain woman named Martha received her into her house. Now note that it says at the end of verse 38, it was her house. An interesting situation here. As you know, Martha and Mary and Lazarus was her brother. You know the story in John chapter 11, how Lazarus became ill and eventually died, and how Jesus came and raised him from the dead. But it says that they were living in Martha's house. Now normally it would be the male son would be responsible for taking care of sisters. And we wonder why Martha was receiving them into her house. Now, there's a number of possibilities. Scripture is silent as to the exact reason. The best probability is that Martha was married. Some believe that it was Simon the leper that she was married to. But we don't know about that one. But nonetheless, her husband had passed on, leaving her a house. Mary was unmarried. Apparently, Lazarus was also unmarried, and being the older of the siblings, it just kind of fell to her having the provisions there. Nonetheless, she had a sister, verse 39, who was called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Again, there is some speculation as to who this Mary is. Some people believe it might be Mary Magdalene. I don't think that is very probable. I think this Mary is just Mary of Bethany, and it's best to leave it just there. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen, she's made a choice, that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I am going to, in just a moment or two, criticize Martha. There's a lot of negative things about Martha in here, but there's also a number of good things about Martha, and I want you to see that too. Martha, first of all, was a believing person. Doesn't specifically say that, but it's kind of written in between the lines that she received the Lord Jesus into her house. The idea of receiving him has the idea of welcoming him. She wasn't there by any stretch of the imagination as the Pharisees would to try and trip him up. In fact, as she comes to him in verse 40, she calls him Lord. So it indicates that Martha was a believer. Secondly, she was a generous person. She received him into her house. She didn't have to do that. She was a person that was hospitable. She welcomed people into her home. She was a generous person. Notice it says also in verse 40, she was cumbered about much serving. She was preparing a meal for Jesus and his disciples. And I take it it wasn't, okay, let's order out some pizza and do the least thing that's possible here. But in that she had much serving to do, she was putting on a real display. She was going all out and giving the Lord Jesus her best. But she had a choice to make. Somewhere along the line, the Lord Jesus Christ sat down and apparently began teaching. And rather than sitting at his feet as Mary did and chose to do, Martha said, I've got to be about service. Now, let's look at the options. Serving the Lord and sitting at his feet. This is a choice between two good things. But which is the best thing? And may I say to you that a good choice, if it's not the best choice, is a wrong choice. Martha chose to serve without sitting. And I want you to look with me tonight at the consequences of serving without sitting. The consequences of being involved in ministry, which is great, wonderful. As a pastor, I want to exhort you to be about the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the consequences of serving without sitting at his feet first. Because you see, the sitting at his feet is a prerequisite to biblical service. Look at what the scripture has about the condition of Martha here. In verse 40, it says, but Martha was cumbered. The word cumbered in the Greek language is a word which means distracted, at wit's end. She had divided attention. She was running over here to the mashed potatoes. She was running over here to the green beans. And she looked at them, she said, and let them burn. She ran over here to the meat, and she was taking care of that. She ran out to the dining room table, and she wanted to make sure the place settings were exactly the way they should be. She ran into the living room to see that they were taken care of. She ran back to the kitchen to make sure the things weren't burning. She ran into the restroom to make sure that obviously I'm putting this in a 21st century scenario. But you can see her going from one thing to the next thing to the other thing, and her attention was divided. How many of those things do you think were done well? Now, possibly the meat was well done, but was it done well? The problem is when we get involved with and cumbered by much serving, we get too many irons in the fire, so to speak, and nothing gets done well. May I suggest to you that it is twice as good to do one thing well than to do two things mediocrely. It is twice as good to do one thing well than two things just well enough to get by. Now that might be a little bit of modern math, but I think it's biblical math. She was cumbered, she was distracting, and things didn't get done well. Secondly, she was cumbered with much serving. Well, we got to get this, we got to get this, we got to get this. We have all these things on the menu, and when you have a whole lot of things going on and one person doing them, the jobs just don't seem to get done. there's always one more thing that has to be done, and you get it done and you turn around and there's another thing, and it's an endless task. She was cumbered with much serving, and as we'll see in a moment, it wasn't necessary that there be much serving. Thirdly, she comes to the Lord Jesus and she said to him, "Lord, dost thou not care?" She was frustrated with God. "Man, I'm out here in the kitchen, the sweat's coming down off my face, I'm working my fingers to the bone, I got all this work to do, and there's old Mary sitting in there and she's not doing a thing. And Jesus, you'd think he would tell her to get out here and help me, and he's not saying a word. He must not care about me." Do you ever get frustrated with God? You got all these things going along that you want to get done. And remember, Martha is choosing to serve the Lord Jesus. That's a great thing, but she's really having trouble doing it, and she's getting frustrated with God. "Lord, why don't you do this? Lord, why don't you do that? Don't you care about me? Dost thou not care that my sister has left me?" There was some strain of the relationships between Mary and Martha. Stephanie had a big job this past week, feeding all those kids. It's bad enough when I have one teenager at home to feed one. She had 70 to 80 kids all week long to feed. You had a job. That was a big job. Fortunately, Stephanie had a good bit of help, didn't you? What if you only had one person helping you in the kitchen? You would have been very stressed out. And Stephanie wouldn't do this. But the natural temptation would be, "Well, I'm doing all this, but this person's not doing quite as much as what I'm doing." And you begin that little friction there. And the unity of the body that should be dwelling in peace becomes strained. And then because this one's not doing anything, you say, "Well, I'm not going to do quite as much." And then they see that you're not doing quite as much. "Well, if they're not going to do that, then I..." And the whole thing goes to pot. A strained relationship. There's arguments and there's carrying on. And not only is Martha frustrated with God, she becomes frustrated with her sister. "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" It's the Elijah complex that we're beginning to look at in our Sunday school class. "Lord, I've been very jealous for you, but I'm the only one that's left out here, and they're seeking to kill my life. Lord, what are you going to do when I'm gone? You won't have anybody." Martha had an inflated importance about herself. "I'm the only one who's doing anything out here." It's interesting. The Lord said to Elijah, "Elijah, I've got 7,000 others who have not bowed the knee to Baal." Now, those 7,000 had a problem. Elijah didn't know about them. Apparently, while they were faithful, they weren't doing much of anything to make themselves known. But here's the problem. Because she wasn't sitting at the feet of Christ before her serving, she had this idea that she was the only one doing anything. And that's a sin problem, folks. "Lord, don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Now watch this. Bid her, Lord, I'm telling you what to do." She had lost her sense of priorities. The servant had become the master, and the master was now the servant. It's interesting that she calls him Lord, because the title Lord is a title of submission, of recognizing that the one that you're speaking to has authority over you. But now she is in a place of commanding God to tell Mary what to do. How many times that I have been in that position, I really do not want to count, but it's been all too many. "Lord, here's how you should solve this problem," rather than, "Lord, what is your solution to the problem?" Lord, don't you care that she has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered, said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now the rebuke is mild, but it is a rebuke. Thou art careful and troubled. The word careful is a Greek word, which can, in a modern translation, be put this way. You are bent out of shape. It's a word that means to be twisted or contorted. And the modern phrase, bent out of shape, is exactly what that word means. It's the idea of you become anxious about things. In fact, I think in the New Scofield Bible, it might have translated this word anxious. I know it's that way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, to be anxious or careful about nothing, but by all things in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And that's the word here. You're careful, you're anxious, you've lost your peace, and you're troubled. You've reached the place of physical exhaustion. And you're about ready to quit. And then no work is going to get done. We read a lot today about people who suffer from burnout. Now, let's face it, those of you who were involved in VBS ministry last week, it was a busy week. And there are times in the will of God where there are just extra burdens, and you have to, as the sports people say, take it up to the next level, or kick it up another gear or another notch, or whatever the case may be. And they're momentary. They last a short period of time, and then they're done. But the problem is, when we have this one time, and then another time, and then another time right on together, we begin to burn out. We run out of energy. Because there's so many things that you want to do to serve the Lord. And what really happens when you have all these things to do in service is the first thing that goes is your personal devotional time. And then you suffer burnout. May I say to you, the problem is not in your service. The problem is in the lack of your fellowship. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath made the best choice. And that good part shall not be taken away from her. You see, it's necessary to sit in order to serve. Well, you say, Pastor, I've seen a lot of people that do a whole lot of sitting, but they never end up serving. Isn't that a problem too? Yeah, it is, but would you look where Mary sat? That's the important part. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat in the back corner, that sat directly in front of Jesus, that sat right at his side, that sat where she could take notes but not be noticed. No, she sat at his feet. May I suggest to you that sitting at a person's feet has two significant aspects to it. First of all, it's a place of a disciple. It's a place of learning. She was listening to his word, and not just listening to be excited or to be amazed or educated, but she was listening to grow and to learn and to know how to live. But sitting at a person's feet is also a position of service. It is the servant's position. And because of that, we would then expect to find Mary sometime later serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Did she ever serve him? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because she did. Turn with me quickly to John chapter 12. Then Jesus, verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Now, Who's the they? I would suggest that Mary is included in that. But you say, well, Pastor, it doesn't say that. You're suggesting. Okay, that's true. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So he wasn't involved in the making of the dinner. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now we go on and we read about my mind just went blank. Judas Iscariot complained about the whole thing, but here's the issue. What was Mary doing? She was serving the Lord Jesus. It wasn't a meal. She was ministering to his feet where she was apt to sit, but she was ministering to him. She was serving him. Sitting at his feet is a place that eventually leads to godly service. Now, notice it says back in Luke chapter 10, and we'll finish it up here for tonight. One thing is needful, but Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away. Well, in other words, if you choose the wrong part, you're going to lose something. What is it that making a wrong choice would cost you? After all, Martha's serving. What can you lose there? Mary's sitting. She's going to have some type of compensation, some type of reward. Well, in 1 Corinthians 3, we find out that at the judgment seat of Christ, all our works will be judged. Some will be gold and silver and precious stones. Some shall be wood and hay and stubble. Now, let me ask you, does even the wood, hay, and stubble have value? Not much, but it has value. You can build a home with wood. You can do some stuff with hay. Feed a horse or whatever. You can cover the ground that you've just put grass seed on or whatever. It has some value to it. But they're all going to be lost at the judgment seat of Christ. They will lose the reward. Here is service that is done that has some intrinsic value, but because it wasn't done according to biblical precepts or principles, it wasn't done by biblical priorities, it suffers loss. A lot of people today seem to want to skip out on their fellowship with God in order to serve God. And may I say to you, all that service that's motivated like that is headed for loss. Well, you say, Pastor, how can that be? Well, let me give you something to ponder here tonight. Jesus went 40 days and nights without food and he survived. Very beginning of his ministry, he went out into the wilderness. But when he was cut off from fellowship with his Father on Calvary's cross, he died. We oftentimes think the other way around. I don't know how I could go 40 minutes without eating. It would be the death of me. But how long can we go without fellowship from God? Folks, Our personal devotions, our sitting at the feet of Christ, our listening to His Word, whether from this pulpit or whether from a daily bread or from whatever it is that you use personally and private, whether it's just opening up your Bible and reading it, whether it's singing the hymns of praise or whether it's giving testimony or whether it's just having a time of prayer, but that sitting at the feet of Jesus is the most important thing in life. And I don't care what you're doing, what class you're teaching, what ministry you're involved in, how many people you're evangelizing, if you're not sitting at the feet of Christ, all that is a good choice, but it's not the best choice, and it's a wrong choice. And it's headed for loss. We need to sit at Jesus' feet. And when we really do, we'll be out there serving Him also. And that good part shall not be taken away. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Martha, that she was a dedicated servant. And Lord, we want to be dedicated servants too. We don't want to sit by idly and do nothing. We don't want to exist in the corners and just take notes. We want to be involved. We want to make a difference. But Lord, may we never be so busy serving the Master that we forget the Master. Lord, may we be found constantly at your feet, and then being equipped to go minister to the world. For your honor and glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, have a good week.